Hello and welcome to the Low Tox Life podcast. I'm Alex Stewart, your host, and this is show 35. And I've invited back Alex Fergus. You might remember him from last year quite early on where we talked about sleep and a lot of sleep hacks. And you'll be well back into the topic of sleep after my chat with Dr. Ron a couple of weeks ago, which I'm sure you'll agree was phenomenal. That was back at show 33. Please do check it out. But today I'm not chatting to Alex about sleep. I'm chatting to him about exercise because he is an incredible personal trainer. He has trained many, many clients of all shapes and sizes over the years, and he's really been able to distill what the most important things are for us to stay in shape, to make the most of our exercise, to ensure we keep a healthy amount of muscle mass, which is really important, especially as we get older. And something that he says is actually even more important than exercise in the show might actually shock you. So please have a listen. I hope you enjoy it. I certainly got a lot out of it myself, and it definitely took the pressure off me feeling like I always had to try and find an hour every single day to do some exercise that could be labeled as exercise, like a class of some kind. He really took that pressure off me, created a much more flexible kind of approach to how we can make exercise a part of our daily routine to get the most out of things. Now, it's April, you know that. We still have an amazing 20% off with Walida. They are our program partner for the month of April. And you also have free shipping with orders over $29.95. Your code is LOTOXLIFE, all caps. And all of this information, including the link straight to their Australian website, is in the show notes. So please, you've only got two more weeks of this, and it's a great offer. Something I adore about Walida is the accessible price. You know, a lot of people, friends have said this so often, oh, but doesn't it all start costing you so much more when you switch to organic things and, you know, non-toxic versions of things? And I'm like, nah, it's really just such an affordable mid-range price. And a lot of people have asked me over the years, how are they able to actually make products that perform so well and natural and are so inexpensive? We're talking a moisturizer will be around $25 to $30, really no more expensive than buying something at your local pharmacy in one of those mainstream brands. So if price is taken out of the equation, then we go, well, there's that one with all of the nasties in it that have scientific literature to back up the fact that we should be cautious around that stuff. Or there's this one that doesn't have any need to be cautious, any dodgies in it, no petroleum, no hormone disruptive chemicals, and the same price. Like, which one are you going to choose? It's an absolute no-brainer. And, you know, I think the fact that they farm their plants biodynamically is a huge reason why they can perform so well and be the mid to low price that they are and be so accessible. Because when you farm biodynamically, you've literally got farmers who are trained to constantly be checking on and testing the plants to see when their most active time is, when the plant actives are at their strongest, to pick then and distill then so that the strength of those actives is then put into the products. So, you know, I guarantee you that if you try that smoothing rose day or night cream, that tends to be what I use on my skin most of the year, you will see absolutely what I mean. It's an outstanding range for the value that it provides us. And there are things for mothers and men and babies and everybody. There's no one left behind when it comes to the range, as well as some really fantastic curative homeopathic stuff for fever or getting that sort of coldy, flu-y kind of vibe happening in the range as well. And of course, Arnica, which as a half Frenchie is something I carry in my handbag for flying because it's so fantastic for inflammation. It just keeps you from swelling up on a plane, as well as for bumps and bruises for the little one. You know, you whack a few little Arnica pills under his tongue and he feels like he's had a lolly because they're a little bit sweet. So he gets excited, seeing as he doesn't really eat the fake stuff. Anyway, I could go on, but I won't, because today's show is a great chat and I really, really hope you enjoy it. Hello, Alex Fergus, joining us again on the Low Tox Life podcast. How are you?
Hey Alex, I'm great. It's great being back. Thanks for inviting me back again.
You're super welcome. I just think the way that you're such a down-to-earth dude who kind of, yes, there are some big challenges that we have and some big goals we want to achieve, but there are always little, super simple things we can do to get started. So it's great to have you back. And this time we're talking exercise and training, you know, something a lot of people are pretty passionate about hacking and figuring out what's going to be best for them. So I'm excited about that. But before we hook in, could you just share a little bit more about yourself for those of the listeners out there who haven't maybe caught the sleep episode we did a while back? And then we'll take it from there.
Sure. Yeah, so grew up in New Zealand, played a lot of sports, rugby, got into rowing, traveled to America for rowing, moved to Australia after university and ended up in the corporate world. Hated that, got out, ended up in a gym. Spent 5, 6, 7 years working in the gym, receptionist, manager, PT manager, PT obviously, and just love it. Constantly learning, continue to do a lot of sports myself, powerlifting, national stage, natural bodybuilding. Did a couple of years of that with pretty good results as well. A little bit of cycling, track cycling. And then, now I have gone from an in-house kind of personal trainer to, counting reps and giving out programs to more of a online health coach. I work with clients all around the world, but predominantly here in Sydney. I've got a lot of corporates, health, wellness. I tell people I help them look and feel amazing. It's not a fat loss program. It's not a weight loss program. It's not a performance program. It's just getting you feeling and looking good.
This is such a good point because so many of us think we are exercising to be thin or to lose weight. But really, the higher purpose of exercise is all the gifts that it gives us, you know, to feeling amazing, just as you say. So it's really awesome that you focus on that being the goal and the thing we're trying to attain rather than inches here and kilos there. And I think you can feel like such a failure. I know myself with a resistant weight loss puzzle that I'm still trying to figure out where I'm not particularly overweight, but I certainly know I'm a few sort of jiggly bits bigger than my happiest, most feeling amazing self. So it's really important that we always feel super clear that the goal is to feel amazing. So were you mentioned obviously a few things you did growing up there in the fitness world. Was it from a little boy? You were just one of those little kids who just couldn't sit still and you had to always be doing all sorts of sports?
Not necessarily. I was a massive computer nerd
Oh, were
through high
you?
school. Huge, like,
You fused your two passions, working online now
totally.
and being in
Yeah,
fitness. Cool.
I mean, I grew up in a reasonably sporty family, so I was always doing sports. It wasn't until I was coming towards the end of high school that I think it was my second last year at high school, I just wanted to compete. Like, I just wanted to test myself, I guess. And I had that pretty solid competitive drive, and I just wanted to beat people at things. So, I mean, yeah, as crazy as it sounds, but that's what drove me. And then I got into rowing and found out I was pretty good at that. And then that led me down the path of kind of health, wellness, and competition. But yeah, it was just I don't know. I grew up on a farm, so I was always active, but I definitely wasn't, the 13-year-old that was going on to be an Olympian sort of kid.
But you caught up pretty well in your
Yeah, I caught up pretty
20s.
well. The Olympics actually were on the radar at one point in my life as well. So I got pretty serious
And you
into
would never know it as a humble New Zealander. You just never hear these things. You got to literally extract it out of you. There we go.
it. I
Okay.
didn't get it, so it's not much of a story,
But you
right?
know, I think it's certainly a story like most of I certainly can't lay that claim, so it's all good. Now, you train people, a lot of them negatively affected by the pace of modern life. And one of the most surprising things you tell them to do, which I thought was crazy, is to actually ditch the workout and sleep in the mornings rather than train. Can you talk me through why you would advise that to a client on their journey?
Sleep, I think, is one of the most important yet overlooked, I don't know what the word is, factors when it comes to health, wellness, longevity. People are happy to pay all this money for the latest supplement powder or special potion or training plan, but they don't even think to look at their sleep. And I was a victim as well of that many years ago. So yeah, I mean, so many people I see are just sleep deprived. You can tell, like you just ask them if they're waking up and they need a couple of coffees to get out of bed, or they wake up and they can't get out of bed, like they're just exhausted. But then come 10 o'clock at night, they're wired and, you know, they think they should be going to sleep, but they're alert and wired. Like, that's just showing to me straight away that there's sleep issues going on. So I believe that should be fixed before we start throwing more stress stimulus on the body through training. I mean, poor sleep can increase insulin sensitivity levels alone. So people get so caught up in sugar and, you know, pre-diabetes and going low carb and everything. And so you can undo all of that with a bad night's sleep.
Interesting. So and this would be especially important for obviously very hardworking, long hour kind of workforce people, or maybe you're working on your own business, you're in that crazy startup mode, or if you're a new parent, my gosh, when you're a new parent, sleep deprivation is huge. Yeah. So are you saying, even like just thinking of the new parent example, it would be more important for that new parent to catch an extra hour's sleep than it would be to train?
Oh, 100% with a parent. Yeah, my girlfriend's a nanny. So she comes home, she loves kids, but she comes home after 10, 11 hour days and she's like, oh my God, I don't know if we're ever going to have kids. I love being with kids, but I need this off time. And I, you know, I've been hearing this for years, so I'm going to be pretty well prepared for it. But yeah, I mean, God, like she's telling me how, you know, we're going to live close to our grandparents, you know, the baby's grandparents. We're going to have like a community so we can offload some of this work and whatnot. The thought of if she turned around and said, oh, by the way, I want to go to the gym every day, I think, you know, it'd just be crazy. Like that should be least of her, based on the stories I'm hearing. I have not much experience with this, but I think that would be the least of her priorities.
And yet the media so often tries to make it a priority, like get back in shape and get ripped abs 2 weeks after birth and all those sorts of things. So we've got to strip away that noise and actually focus on the sleep. I totally agree.
And that's applicable to corporate men, you know, teenage girls, everyone. I think that can really sort of mess with the minds a little bit. But yeah, I mean, look, if you're sleeping well, you're probably going to be in a semi-good shape anyway. Like I said, you've got the insulin issues, you've got leptin sensitivity, you've fat loss, like melatonin leads to leptin release at night. So without that melatonin release, you're not getting leptin. And once leptin's released, leptin's like the feeling full hormone, in case you weren't aware of that, or your listeners weren't aware of that. So
once, what's affecting our leptin?
The melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, once that's released about 4 hours after darkness. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at your phone, TV, whatever it may be, right before bed, it's going to take 4 hours before, typically about 4 hours before you get a melatonin release in the body. Melatonin, obviously powerful antioxidant and whatnot, and helps with the sleep, suppresses cortisol, but it also creates a release of leptin, and then leptin enters.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah. So leptin enters the hypothalamus in the brain, and then as a result of that, the thyroid's upregulated. That in turn increases your metabolism, you burn a lot of fat when you're sleeping, growth hormones released. So you're resting, recovering, you're rebuilding, you know, regenerating tissues. REM sleep is enhanced, so you more creativity and, you know, memories are kind of, what's the word, built. And the body, like you literally burn fat when you're sleeping, right? So not only if you're shortening that sleep time, but then if you're having bad sleep as well, you're missing out on all this goodness from a fat loss point of view, not to mention all the other cognitive and well-being point of view.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely, this is why I tell my clients, just focus on sleeping. I tell them, like, think of a battery with your phone. You know, let's say you've got an iPhone and 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, your phone drops down to 10-15%. You don't know if there's going to be an opportunity to recharge until that night. So what do? You start turning things off. You turn the brightness down. You know, you turn off maybe data. You turn off the flashlight, whatever it may be. You might even put it on airplane mode and only use it when you have to, right? But you know, as soon as you get home, you'll recharge and it will be well the next day. The body's similar. Like, the sleep is the recharging. And then if you're sleep deprived and lack of sleep, your body's going to shut things down. It's going to slow down the metabolism. You're going to burn less heat. All of a sudden, you're getting cold. You're going to look for those artificial stimulants to pick you up. So you're going to look for the sugar. You're going to look for the caffeine. You're going to look for the coffee. All these things, of course, are short-term fixes, but they're doing more harm long-term. You're going to be less active. Anyone, I used to bodybuild, and when you're getting towards the competition, semi-starving yourself, and you're not eating much, the thought of walking to the work or walking to the gym is tough. Like, it's mentally tough because the body wants to conserve as much energy as possible. So you've got all these things happening just due to this lack of energy, lack of sleep, and thankfully that can be fixed by sleeping more or avoided, I
I
guess.
love how you've managed to get us to talk about sleep when we're supposed to be talking about exercise too. Sneaky,
Sorry.
sneaky. It's good. No, I'm just teasing. So, can I ask something, and I'll just guinea pig my own personal story for
Sure.
this little tangent. But about 3 years ago, I thought, right, what I'm not doing enough of is exercising. And I enrolled myself in a whole bunch of classes, and I was going to the gym 5 times a week. And that year, very frustratedly, I actually put on 6 kilos. Now, I was sleeping okay. I was definitely getting sort of 7 hours a night, maybe pushing 7.5. But, that's like totally counterproductive to everything we talk about or think about exercising and increasing your exercising for better results. How would that happen? Why would that happen?
Well, my first question is, 6 kilos, do you know if that was fat mass or muscle mass or?
That I don't know because I never did those sort of machines that, but I definitely didn't feel like more at ease in my jeans, let's say.
Okay, so you feel like you put on fat.
Yes, I
Okay,
do.
right. Because, yeah, I mean, the training stimulus is going to have a range of impacts on the body. I mean, yes, you can put on muscle, but even things like bone density, like postmenopausal women, they recommend you do some weight training because it strengthens the bones and stuff, right? So that 6 kilos, it could come from, it might not necessarily all be fat, but yeah, if you notice that you got fatter or felt fatter, then yeah, obviously there was something happening there. 5 times a week, I mean, to be honest, with all the stresses that we have in today's life, even with the best sleep, if you're eating bad food, it can form a stress on the body. If you're living in a pollutant, toxic house or office, exposed to a lot of pollutants, if you're emotionally stressed, if you're always running late for appointments, if financial stress, right? All these things are going to compound, and that training that you would have brought in is just another stress. It's another stress on the body. So many people forget about this. They know, all right, they need to wind down and avoid all, like, they've had a stressful day at work, right? So all they want to do is go to the gym. And I've seen this as a personal trainer, and they'll come in at 6:30 and they'll say, man, I've had a horrible day. They're already running late, and you can see they were frazzled. I've had a horrible day. I've got to be out of here in half an hour. I've got something else on. Let's just slam me, just push me to the edge. Like, just, and that's the last thing they should be doing in that time.
So
So,
basically, you're saying what I was actually doing was prolonging the window of stress in my day by adding an hour to the morning of hardcore working out.
I mean, look, it's very hard to answer that question, like
No, I'm just, it's
your
just
situation, but
hypothesizing. It's
it
all
could be,
good.
yeah. I
It
mean, the
can
fact you're
be.
doing 5 times a week, yeah. I mean, like, another thing is people think, all right, if I'm exercising more, I'm burning more calories, yada yada yada, right? I'm going to lose weight. But like, calories matter, yes, sure, but hormones matter more. So if you're messing up the hormones, whether it is from sleep, like we said before, or training, or all these other stresses, at the end of the day, the calories don't really matter. So bringing in that stress, let's say you were overtraining. Again, I don't know what you were doing. I don't know your fitness state and all that sort of thing. But let's say you were overtraining. That elevated cortisol, the stress hormone, leads to increased blood pressure, leads to increased heart rate. That's why the easiest thing to lower blood pressure is to de-stress. And then obviously with that stress response, the fight or flight response, you get an adrenaline release. That adrenaline release is releasing glucose into the bloodstream because, again, like, that stress response was built for an extreme situation, like life or death situation, you know, tiger chasing you kind of thing, right? So it's all engines survival, right? You don't care. The body doesn't care about reproducing, doesn't care about digestion. This is why if you have digestion issues, you need to back off from training. You know, it's all run or jump or whatever it may be. So you got this adrenaline release that increases glucose in the blood for fuel, immediate fuel source. That in turn increases insulin. So you can get an insulin response simply through stressing yourself and not eating sugar. So you can become pre-diabetic or diabetic just through constant stress. I mean, it'd take a lot of work, but you know, it's the same principle in terms of the body. So all these things are happening. And then also with elevated cortisol, which could have been the situation for you, that has an antidiuretic function. So it retains fluid, right? Mm. And also, you know, you get high levels of inflammation in the body. So with that retained fluid, the body needs more sodium to keep electrolytes in balance. So all of a sudden that increased weight might simply be water weight. You know, you get that puffy sort of soft look. It may not have even been fat. It may just be extra water, salt that's been retained due to the extra stress. So that's why
puffy. Yes, yeah. That's exactly how I would have described it. Interesting.
And you may find, given that situation, you may have had, let's say, a week in Hawaii or Bali, right? And you may just relax and switch off. And you may have came back 5-6 kilos lighter and thought, oh, wow, it was the sun or it was the extra sleep or it was the good food I was eating, you know, all the salads I was eating.
Or the lack of stress.
Yeah. And you can lose that weight just like that. And obviously there's so many variables, but that's just one.
So stress is really emerging as a huge factor in this whole weight puzzle, isn't it?
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, massive. Mm. Now, when it comes to training, and this is something I think a lot of women don't understand the value of doing weights-based training. Could you talk us through what the benefits are, especially as we start to move through the decades and get older?
Of weight training?
Yeah.
Particularly for females or just in
general? Yeah, because we're told to, you know, go out for a walk or do a yoga class but I really don't think weights are emphasized very much, and it seems the more trainers who are highly specialized that I speak to that this is pretty much the go-to that people will recommend. Do you as well, and could you explain why?
Yeah, 100%. I think weights, everyone should be doing some form of resistance training, whether you use weights at a gym or body weight or bands or you lift your babies up the steps. That's all resistance training, right? So I think when people say, oh, you need to go to the gym, like it needs to be weights. The weights are just a tool to stress the muscle, right? So you can get that same stress through, you know, carrying your baby around the park. It's, you're stressing the muscle, you're stressing the joints. So that, I think that's important to clarify, that you don't have to go to the gym.
Okay.
You know, but yes, I think in terms of health, wellness, longevity, feeling good and looking good, then yes, I think you should be doing some form of resistance training or some form of resistance that creates a stress on the body. Mm-hmm. And then not much. Like, I mean, you could, I don't know, once a week, even once a fortnight, to be honest, is probably all you need. It's the whole use it or lose it thing, right? Like if you don't put any stress through the joint, and then all of a sudden, you know, you try to pick up a box of groceries and you can't, you're not going to be able to, right? But if you're always regularly putting through a bit of stress on that joint, then the body will adapt and you'll maintain it. From the health point of views, I mean, there's huge, huge impact or huge benefits of strength training or resistance training, sorry. You've got improved insulin response, insulin sensitivity. So again, like people think diabetes, it's all about the sugar, but you've got things like these other variables, sleep I mentioned before, and obviously training. So you can improve that through resistance training.
Mm.
You can improve bone density big time, because again, like you're stressing, you're telling the body, okay, we need to be strong enough to support this weight or this load or this resistance. You get there's a release of I'm probably going to mess this up, it's BDNF, brain derived neurotrophic factors or something like that.
Nicely done.
Something like that. There'll be some doctor out there like shaking his head. But you get a release from post-training of that, which is flooded into the brain, and that helps with well-being and everything, but also with like longevity, brain health, and it improves the synapse connection in the brain, like the neural connections in the brain. So you're getting all these health benefits, I guess, from strength training, other than just simply, you know, building muscle or losing weight.
Absolutely. And something that I do love about weights is you can go really slow and heavy as opposed to sort of, you know, busting yourself crazy in like a pump class style thing it's actually more of a cardio workout and a big cortisol kind of releasing environment with the crazy loud music and the, you know. So I have noticed for myself having that cortisol, because I have a very busy active life as a mum, as a business owner, it's, you know, it's busy. And back to what you were saying, which kind of confirmed my suspicion, was adding an hour of intensive exercise that was quite hypey in its style was probably not what I needed. And slowing down and moving to a much calmer environment, a gym where there's just low music and I can just do weights at a really slow rep, really kind of heavy as well, to create stress, but not the kind of stress that we talk about that throws your cortisol through the roof, but the kind of stress you just mentioned, which is like the positive stuff that sets off all the beautiful chain reactions through the brain and makes your joints sort of more clever, if you like, start to remember that they can do stuff.
Yeah, the intensity is important, yes, but you're right, you don't need an hour long, even a 40 minute class. And with the slow rep training, there's a protocol called super slow training, or there's a book, Doug McGuff wrote it, it's called Body by Science, and it's literally a 15 minute workout once a week. Now this is actually what I get my weight loss. Yeah, it's what I've been doing for 7 months, and it's what I, well, 8 months now, and it's what I get my corporate fat loss clients to do. If they don't like going to the gym and they're super busy, which everyone is, then I get them on this program.
And 15 minutes.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, look, it's tough and you've got to do it properly to get the benefits, and it's not for everyone, but it's exactly what you said. Like, you'll get a weight, and let's say you're doing a push up, right? Or, you know, a chest press, and you'll pick a weight and you'll just keep moving, whether you're doing a push-up or on the machine, and it might take, I don't know, 6 to 10 seconds to lock out the arms, to straighten the arms. So imagine you're pushing away, and then immediately you turn around 6 to 10 seconds on the way back, hence the name super slow training, right? So you just keep going until you can't move it. And so that might take 1 or 2 minutes, might take 3 minutes, but it hurts. It hurts a lot. But you think about what's happening, you're telling that muscle, all right, we've got to push against this weight or the floor or whatever you're doing. We've got to utilize all the muscle fibers, and we're taking it to absolute failure. And once you finish that one rep, you go to it for another body part, and you do 4 or 5 body parts, and then you're done. And it's tough. It's very, very tough. But end of the day, like, that's all we really need. We just need that signal to the brain, to the body, to the muscle that, hey, look, keep me. I need to be used, you know, I need to be strong, I need to be dense, I need to be able to do this particular movement, otherwise I'll, you know, muscles are expensive resource in the body, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and they can quickly forget what they need to do if you don't test them. So that's really interesting, because if you think about the old days back in the wild as nomads, you know, basically we spend most of our time walking around, eating a few plants, you know, chatting and doing very low-key things. And then it would be once or twice a week that you would have to do something really challenging, like, you know, I don't know, build something or lift a huge log as a team whatever it would be. So it kind of makes sense.
It's one extreme or the other, right? Like there's the walking, relaxing, and then all of a sudden, okay, there's something chasing us, or, yeah, we've got to do something intense. But even saying that, like, if you're doing a lot of walking, and, again, my girlfriend, she's becoming like the star of the show here, she looks after twins, 22-month-old twins, right? And we've been together 5-6 years, but she won't go near a gym, and she doesn't like, I've never seen her run. Occasionally she'll do a push up with me at the park, but very, very rarely.
Well,
but
if she's looking after 22-month-old twins, I think she's got more than enough to do.
No. So, but my point is, like, if you looked at her, you'd think, oh, and people do, they say, oh, you must train with Alex quite a bit, you must go to the gym quite a bit. And she's like, no, well, I'm pushing prams around Bondi up and down hills. I'm lifting, like, that is a stress. Like, that's all you need to keep the body healthy and fit and stuff. And I think a lot of people think they have to overdo it, and maybe they've been, a mum pushing the pram all day, and then they've got to go to the gym and do more weightlifting, which
And
you might
that's
not
not the
need to do it.
case. Yeah, interesting. Depending on your goals. And then it always comes back to see someone, a health professional, practitioner, an experienced PT, and really have a chat about your own unique situation rather than assuming there's this one, hip way to do it that's going to solve everybody in the world's problems overnight. Because it's so fad-based, isn't it,
Oh,
training?
totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do we cut out that noise, and how can people explore exercise with their own bio-individuality in mind? Like, there's obviously so many different ways to stay in shape. As I said, there are also so many people telling you, do it this way, this is the best way. How do we come to our own conclusions? Can you offer us some tips, like as we start to experiment with exercise that makes us feel good or helps us produce the results we want to produce? What are some of the things we should be looking for in our own life? Would you say the first thing might be look at how much stress you have in your day? Secondly, look at how much sleep you have in your day. Sort those two things out before you start looking at exercise. It seems like there's a bit of a theme for you.
I mean, look, it does depend on the individual, and it depends on their goal. There's a difference between someone who wants to lose a few kilos for a wedding to, compete in the Olympics, right? Like, obviously you treat everyone individually, so you work with someone who's going to help you with your goals. But in terms of general tips, let's use my coaching program as an example. I work with middle-aged corporates, 40 years old, thereabouts, who need to lose some weight. So one of the first things I do is I tell them to stop all training, all strenuous training. So generally, there are one or two of extremes. They're either doing far too much or they're doing nothing. End of the day, I say, don't worry, let's just relax. Let's just spend a couple of weeks, it's 6 weeks on my program actually, where I get them walking, I get them outside, I get them to, sleep a bit more, I get them to look at their diet, I get them to just slow down.
Slow down. So often we're going so fast, and then we think we need to just jump into, oh my God, okay, yes, that sounds awesome. I'll go do that. And I think we've all been there, and just slowing down and really premeditating any moves you're going to make is so
Right.
important.
Especially if you are wound up, like, go, go, go. So, yeah, just slow down, rebuild. And then during that time, I get them walking as much as possible because everyone can walk. Well, I mean, not everyone, but there's no reason why you can't walk. Like, go for a walk when you're on the phone. Just work it into your day. Take the steps. It's been said so many times, but it works. Like, it does help. So you're still moving, but you're not doing that strenuous activity. And then once you are feeling a bit better and you feel like you got more energy and your sleep's solid and your diet's solid, then you'd look at introducing more of those stresses. And yeah, I mean, it's stick with the basics, stick with the simple stuff. You've mentioned the fad before, and I guess my super slow training will be a fad or could be considered a fad. But end of the day, you just need to load or put stress the joints, whether that is going to the gym. I have clients who love going to the gym. Sure, go to the gym, just follow this program, keep it short, only go a few times a week, yada yada yada. There might be someone who hates going to the gym but loves going to the park and doing push-ups or whatnot. Great, just bring that in. Just, it doesn't need to be fancy. You don't need to pay top dollar for an advanced program, or follow the Men's Health or Women's Health magazine, the fat loss program of the year. Just move, put some stress to the body, and then once you've got those in your life, once or twice a week, then you could look at doing some sprints, maybe some sprint intervals. And again, like, 20-minute session max, sprint for 10, 15 seconds, rest for a minute, do that half a dozen times. That's all you need to do. You don't need to be doing the hour-long classes. You don't need to be jogging. So yeah, just move and occasionally bring in a stress, like a strenuous stress type training.
Interesting. So really, I think that's brilliant, because we assume that the harder you go, the bigger the results. But really what you're saying is slow down first and go hard for very small amounts of time, literally just a couple of times a week. And then the other part of your focus should just be movement in general, whether that's, picking up your kids and doing all those sorts of things, or whether it's
Time for
going
walks.
for a walk in nature. I mean, I often talk about this whole craziness where food food companies have turned their products into being our downtime, our me time, our break, such as, you know, the have a break, have a won't mention any brand names, but really have a break, have a Bondi to Bronte. That should be what the slogan is. You know, it's unbelievable what a beautiful walk in nature can do for us. And if you can only take 10 minutes around the block and just look up at the trees, then that's being in nature. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a city, there's always going to be a tree somewhere that you can focus on. Really important.
And take your shoes off, ground, you know, get some sunlight, all these things that are missing out, you know, because we're stuck inside and all that. I totally agree. I think it's very important and always overlooked.
Awesome. So would you say there are, like, could I challenge you to give us the two exercises or exercise forms that you believe we absolutely all need in our lives to be our healthiest selves?
Exercise forms, do you mean a particular lift or like a type of training?
A type of training. Okay. Would walking be one of those two?
I would say if it could only be two, definitely walking.
You could push it out to three if you really have to. Yeah.
Well, it's what I touched on before. Something slow, walking, I guess yoga and stuff could fit into that as well, but just something slow, like you should be able to hold a conversation through it and it shouldn't get the heart rate too high. And then on the other side of the coin, it would be that intense but short and sharp training, whether that's weight training or sprints. If you're feeling really good about yourself and energy levels are great, then you could do both. And, you know, you probably only have to do weights once a week, or resistance training, sorry, once a week, and sprints once a week. That's all I personally do. That's all I have my clients do. If they feel good and they want to do more, and as their coach, I think they're ready to do more, then I let them. But most people, like, you do the one weight session for 20, 30 minutes a week, one sprint session 20, 30 minutes a week. And for most people, that's all they need to look and feel amazing.
I love it. It's so good. And it's just about bringing it down to the simple things we can all do. So I'm going to issue a group challenge here. I like doing group challenges. So for the next week, give it a go. Everybody out there, go for a half hour walk every single day. If you have to break that up into 2 15-minute walks, totally cool. But just make half an hour of walking at some point in your day happen. In that 7 days, also add in a short, sharp sprint session, as Alex described, of, what was it, 10 to 15 seconds sprinting and then a 1 minute recovery?
Yeah, and do that 5 6 times.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Everyone can do that. I even feel like I can do that and I'm excited to do it. And then the second thing that you got to do the third thing you got to do in that 7 days is some sort of resistance. So whether that's, you know, you've got some weights or a kettlebell at home and doing something with those, or whether it's just doing some half or full push-ups, or what else could we do? Some squats?
Yeah.
Would that count?
You could do the squats. You could, if you're at home, you could do a wall sit. So you sit against the wall and you brace yourself.
I
use that with clients. Push-ups, like you mentioned, obviously if you can't do them on the ground, do like an incline push-up against like a sofa or, you know, something, or a table where you just go up and down a few times. Stairs, like everyone seems to be living in an apartment, grabs two, I don't know, heavy bottles or bags of shopping and just walk up the stairs, you know, 10 flights or something. And that's resistance training, right? It's not going to get you in the Olympics or on a bodybuilding stage, but it's still got that goodness. I think it's also important to mention real quick that with the weights training, like going to a gym and doing a pump class isn't weights training. That is more of a cardiovascular type of training. Mm. Weights training, you want something that's, you know, you can only do for a short period of time that burns the muscle, you know, fatigues the muscle either through lactic acid or just through a loss of strength. Like you literally don't have enough strength to do another push-up. That's what you want to do. You don't want to be like bouncing around in a class for like 30, 40 minutes and not having a rest. You're not going to get the same benefits that you would from like a short, sharp sort of weight training.
Interesting. I'm loving this 7-day experiment. And remember, you can always hashtag LowToxLife anywhere on social to let us know how you're going with that, or leave a comment in today's show notes And, you know, maybe Alex, I can invite you to just to have a look at any comments or questions that anyone has, if that's okay. I haven't put you on the spot.
No, I'm more than happy to.
Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you want to add before we finish? Anything you've been busting to say?
No, I mean, I think it's important to slow down. If you're looking at health or fat loss, then focus on things like your diet, focus on relaxing, focus on sleep, and back off on the training. And don't feel bad about it. Like, I think people are expected to, you know, they feel like they have to go to the gym every day or they have to do something every day. I know it can be very tough switching off. I've been through it myself, and I see it all the time with clients. But don't feel bad about it. Like, spend that extra hour, like, cooking a nice meal, or spend the time with your kids, and just rethink, you know, why are you spending all this time, money, energy, going to the gym, slaving day out, day and night, especially if you're not getting the results, then, you know, it might be time to take a look and try something different.
Try something different. That's absolutely right. And what we're going to try is something that all of us can fit into whatever kind of lives we've got going on, which I'm excited about. So thank you again for being my guest on the Low Tox Life podcast. No doubt we'll think of something I have to invite you back for again. But it's always a pleasure chatting to you, and have a great day.
Likewise. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's show. Check out the show notes at lowtoxlife.com/podcast. And if you wanted to maybe share a quote and something that really jumped out for you, you can find us on Instagram at lowtoxlife or simply hashtag lowtoxlife across social media. I absolutely love bringing you the show. Thank you for any of the star ratings or one-line reviews that you guys have left. It helps me know what you've been loving and what you'd love to see more of. I'll see you next week.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck.